Here's Andy Udman.
It is a bumper sticker which shocks people. There are hundreds of them in the area. They're being distributed by a businessman in St. Thomas. The bumper sticker reads, "Kill your local pedophile." And all of us climb up on our self-righteous little pedestal and say, yes, hang them all, these people who abuse children. Well, there are many ways to abuse children. One of them is sexually. And there, as you know, there are many other ways. And that's why I feel so strongly about the subject matter this morning. We are about to meet the author of a book called Childhood Under Siege. Let me read you just a couple of paragraphs that came out when the book came out about this book, Childhood Under Siege. It's a hostile takeover of children's hearts. Are you listening, Mom? Are you listening, Dad? Let me just interject this. As I get older, I think a little bit more about how I want to be remembered. And my number one goal in life is to be a good husband. My number two goal is to be a good father. Listen to this. Childhood Under Siege. It's a hostile takeover of children's hearts, minds, and bodies as corporations pump billions of dollars into rendering parents and governments powerless to protect children from the toll on their health and well-being. The book covers a massive and growing kid marketing industry using increasingly callous and devious methods to manipulate kids' emotions and cultivate compulsive behavior using violence, sex, and consumerism. Pam Colleen joins me this morning. Pam, I know that some people are going to hear that language. They go, Andy, come on, lighten up. You really think that the corporations are going after our kids without any agenda but to make money? And you would say?
I would say absolutely. They're out there to make money. That's their only obligation. They are not there to really take care of our health. They're there to make a profit. So that's their number one obligation. And they're very good at doing that. The author we have on line this morning, Professor Joel Bakken, he is the author of the book The Corporation, which was turned into an award-winning documentary. And two of the things that I remember from that movie was that the corporation basically are sociopaths. They behave like sociopaths. How they behave basically is above the law, and that they're allowed to lie. And I think if consumers knew this, really understood this, they would change the way they vote with their dollars, and they would, you know, basically transfer how they pay for certain consumer items and pay for something that's more responsible, more healthier for their families and their children.
Give me a direct example of how this harms our kids. I'm reading from this book. The book covers children's chronic health problems such as asthma, cancer, autism, birth defects on the rise as corporations dump chemicals into the environment. It's scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's very little regulation over so many products on the marketplace today that they're basically putting these products out on the market without any valid testing. And we're all guinea pigs in this massive experiment. And clearly this experiment isn't working very well because look at how sick we are today.
Well, I say to people, look at all the kids with asthma, for example. Look at all the kids with allergies of various kinds. I'm absolutely fascinated to be able to talk to the author of this book, Childhood Under Siege. Joel Bakken is a professor of law at UBC, an internationally recognized and award-winning scholar and teacher, former Rhodes Scholar, has law degrees from Oxford, Dalhousie, and Harvard. Mr. Bakken, we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
You're a father?
I am a father.
How many kids?
I've got a couple of teenagers, and I began writing this book when they were just in their preteen years.
Who most, Dr. Bakken, needs to hear what you have to say this morning?
Well, I think all parents need to hear it, but I think all citizens need to hear it. I mean, the issue of kids, whether you're a parent, an uncle, an aunt, or you don't have any kids or have anything to do with them. I mean, kids are our future as a society. You know, we're not treating them very well.
Well, hopefully we don't have to spend a lot of time agreeing that kids are our priority. How is all of this harming our kids, the corporate agenda?
Well, what I do in this book is I look at a number of different areas, and my basic argument is that from the corporation's perspective, a child is really a resource to exploit for profit. And that's not to say anything bad about the people who work in corporations. It's just to state a truth. which I, as a lawyer, recognize about the nature of the corporation. It's programmed in order to exploit, in order to make profit, and really not to care about the effects on other people.
Give me one example.
Well, I guess the thing that got me interested in writing the book was when my 11-year-old kid, I was throwing a ball around with him in the backyard, and I'd noticed he and his pals were on the computer all the time, and they sort of migrated from the television room to the computer room. And I said, what do you guys get up to? And he said, oh, there's this really great site. It's called Addicting Games. And I thought, you know, as a responsible parent, I should go and look at the site. So I did. Found out that it's, you know, the top gaming site for kids, 10 million unique users a month, you know, an incredibly popular site. And so I looked at the most popular games, and one of them was called Whack Your Soulmate. And basically, it involves manipulating the mouse to get a man to kill a woman in sort of increasingly brutal ways, and the woman to kill the man in increasingly brutal ways. So one of them, just randomly, the woman elbows the man in the back of the head. He falls down, blood gushing all over the place, and then she squats over him and defecates on him. Now, my son was 11 years old, and this was the site that he and his buddies were going to and playing these kinds of games. Another one was called Boneless Girl, which involved torturing an unconscious girl by sort of pushing her through these narrow gaps, and she's clad in a bikini. So, you know, and I just thought, what are we doing here? Because what I found out was this site wasn't some kind of weird, you know, obscure site. This site was owned and run by Nickelodeon. You know, one of the most prominent providers of children's entertainment. And so that kind of, that's when the light bulb went off. And I said, this is strange that as a society, we would be purveying this kind of stuff to 11-year-old kids, even 8-year-old kids. It would be done by a blue chip company. And somehow we consider this to be okay.
Now, how would you respond to, say, Nickelodeon or anybody in the video game industry as saying that, well, our games aren't addictive? That's how they defend themselves. And then they go on to say that it's not our games, it's bad parenting.
Yeah, and that's one of the crucial issues that I look at in the book, is where does the responsibility break down between parents and between society more generally? Because if we're going to say that these issues of parenting are really just parental concerns, then we really don't need any regulation at all. Just let corporations do whatever they want to kids, and we'll assume parents can protect them from it. And my argument in the book, in all the areas I look at, not just video games, but environmental issues like you were talking about in the introduction, the pharmaceutical companies, child labor, my argument in respect to all of this is a joint responsibility. Parents, of course, are the frontline defenders of kids' interests, but they parent in a context. And it's our job as a society to make that context, make it easier for them to make better decisions.
Dr. Bakken, there's been an explosion, of course, of the use of drugs by kids, and kids seem to have an explosion of health issues. Could that somehow be related to the corporate agenda?
Well, I look at that issue. I spend a couple of chapters on it, and basically what I point out is that in 1980, it was very rare for a child to be diagnosed with a mental illness and to be treated with drugs for that mental illness. In 2012, it's almost as common as taking an antibiotic for a sore throat. What has happened in those 30 years is the question I ask. And the answer I present is that to some extent, this explosion, and I mean, we're talking about an explosion. We've gone from zero to tens of millions, arguably hundreds of millions of kids across the world. Part of this is that we've become better. Our medical science has become better at detecting mental illness in kids and at treating it. And that's great. But that's only part of it. A large part, I argue in the book, is due to the fact that Big Pharma has seen in children a new market to tap for its products. And I show how through marketing, through basically infiltrating medical science, through improper and inadequate regulation, through all of these different factors, we've basically allowed big pharmaceutical companies to be involved in pushing and in marketing these drugs, sometimes in highly inappropriate ways.
You make a mention in one of your videos of a lot of cheerleaders somehow ending up in doctor's offices. Explain that comment.
Well, that's one of the things I look at, and it's only one, but essentially there's this practice where pharmaceutical companies hire sort of bright young college grads, usually, to go and hang out in doctor's offices and wait for moments in order to talk to the doctors about particular drugs and their virtues and give free samples and even sometimes give gifts, take doctors for dinner, do all these kinds of things. And what I found in my research is that there's actually a company that puts together pharmaceutical companies, basically brokers employment deals between pharmaceutical companies and cheerleaders. That's what they do. Because pharmaceutical companies have found that attractive women, especially with male doctors, tend to be better at selling drugs than, for example, people with degrees in pharmacology.
And some of them, you've suggested, are not just giving away pills to the doctor.
There are some, there is one book out there that's basically a tell-all kind of book about what goes on in this industry that alleges that that it's not just pills and it's not just free dinners, but sometimes sexual favors as well. And there's actually, I can't remember the name of it, there was a big Hollywood film based on that premise a couple of years ago.
Okay, so what you're saying is in the very companies that we depend on to produce the products to make our kids healthier, the net effect is they're making them sicker than ever before.
Well, that's the problem. And the solution that I suggest is to get back to a system which we used to have where there were some boundaries between the commercial interests of the companies and the public interest, that medical research tended to be done in public hospitals, in public universities, that it was protected from the commercial influence of companies, and that's a good system. You know, the pharmaceutical companies have every right, and we're indebted to them for producing products that save lives and make us healthy. But they also have overriding commercial interests. And so if we can somehow protect medical research and medical practice from that commercial motivation, then I think we're in much better shape. And it used to be that way, but we changed.
Now, you have about two or three pages in your book consecrated to a rap sheet for the pharmaceutical industry. You give a long list of criminal activity among these companies as well.
That's correct. The companies are notorious for being involved in dubious illegal marketing practices, for burying data about the side effects of their drugs, for exaggerating claims about their drugs, for encouraging doctors to prescribe their drugs for unapproved uses. And I'm a lawyer, I'm a law professor, and so this is my kind of domain, and I was really quite surprised, appalled by the regular incidents of major legal infractions by major companies.
Tell us about this combination of violence, sex, and consumerisms that the corporations use to their advantage.
Well, I think that what companies have found and what marketers have found is that when they're targeting children, the more violence and the more sex, the more children are going to be fascinated by it. And that's not to say anything bad, especially about tweens and teens. They're fascinated by the things that they're not supposed to know about. That's kind of what being a teenager is about. And so if they're presented with that kind of stuff, they're going to find it compelling. I spoke with the leading kid marketer in the world, a fellow named Martin Lindstrom, and he wrote a book called Brand Child a few years ago that's all about how do you target children. And what he told me is the fundamental principle of child marketers is to go as deep into their psyches and tap their hot-button emotions as much as you possibly can. and then manipulate those motions in order to get them to want things.
Give me one health disorder out there in our children that is worse, not better, because of this agenda.
Well, I think that the we're looking at these various kinds of problems that kids are having, depression, anxiety, all of these issues, and we're saying, oh, well, as soon as they show signs of that, let's give them a pill. Well, maybe let's not give them a pill, but let's look at the culture that they're surrounded in and that they're immersed in, and let's ask, is that a healthy culture? Is that a culture that's likely to make them feel confident and happy and motivated like kids should?
But is society able to make any of these corporations accountable, or are we just going to have to act on our own?
Well, I mean, the way that we are a democratic society, and we're a society in which governments pass laws in order to try to promote the public interest. And one of the arguments I make in the book is that we've kind of lost sight of that idea in relation to corporations.
Doctor, we're almost out of time. I do want to ask you about one item in particular. We now have governments funding drugs for girls in grade 7 with the argument that it'll avoid cervical cancer. Is that one example? I was just struck by Brian Ross's reports on ABC News at the Republican convention a few days ago, and now at the Democratic convention, that it's all about the lobbyists who fly in their private jets meeting with the all these politicians to push exactly this agenda.
And this is one of the problems I talk about in this book and my previous book, The Corporation, is that we need to wrest government back from the industry lobbyists, because what those lobbyists are doing is they're getting governments to do things that are in their benefit, whether it's selling particular inoculations and vaccinations to schools, or it's deregulating corporations' activities. So in essence, we need to take government back.
Doctor, I wish we had more time. It's absolutely fascinating. The book is called Childhood Under Siege. Pam, where can people learn more about Joel Bakken and his book?
Actually, Professor, do you have a website at all? Or?
Yeah, it's just my name, joelbakken.com.
And Bakken is spelled B-A-K-A-N.
That's correct.
A final parting word to parents who haven't taken any of this too seriously until now, Doctor?
I take it seriously. Go read my book.
And watch the movie. Watch the documentary, The Corporation. It's online. It's a fabulous documentary. It's one of my favorites.
Okay,
thank you so much. Ryan, just before we go, Ryan, I want to give an update, Pam, on Wheat Belly. We have had phenomenal reaction to our discussion last week about the book, Wheat Belly. And Ryan, you were telling us?
Yeah, exactly. Last week, you talked to the author of Wheat Belly. And this week, I was informed by my wife, Wendy, that she tried to book that out of the library. She first tried the Middlesex County Libraries, where they said that it was over a 100-day wait for that book. I don't know how many copies they had, but then she tried the London Public Libraries, where they had 20 copies, and it was going to be a 120-day wait for that book. So a big, big
See what
lineup.
You started, Pam Colleen? What else you got? What, before we go, what?
My nutrition boot camp will be starting October the 13th, and I'll be teaching on nutrition for about 4 weeks, and I'll be talking about the effects of grain, too much grain in the diet, for example, and the importance of returning to our ancestral diet and how that will affect not just our physical health, but our mental health as well.
Always a pleasure, Pam. You always give us so much to think about. Thank you
Thanks
so much.
Thanks so much, Andy.
Okay, 10:30 news update when we come back on the other side of the news.